Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
He's right. This is the show where ideas matter. Hi, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Nice to have you back with us today. Nice to be with you. We are happy to welcome back Stacy Badula to our microphone. Stacy's been a guest here before. She's a remarkable young lady, and let me tell you a little bit about her. First off, let me preface this whole thing with the knowledge that, you know, there are millions of teachers all over the world that have a really important and positive effect on children's lives. The question is, what if you also have the advantage of being a gifted author whose books help children combat the harmful effects of social issues that are so much in the news these days, like bullying, like drugs, and peer pressure? Well, if you had that combination, you would truly have something and someone special, and we do. Our guest, Stacy Badula, is the owner and founder of a practice that is known as South Shore College Consulting and Tutoring. She works with juniors and seniors in high school and helps them, you know, go through the process of selecting a college and trying to get accepted and filling out all the forms, everything that goes along with getting into college. But she also is an accomplished author of young adult fiction novels, and the books are great, and they have a big impact on the children, the youngsters who read them. Her books focus on young people and the pressures they face in their perplexing high school years, says Stacy. With the overwhelming prescription drug problem in our society so prevalent today, high school students should be prepared to withstand and defy these challenges, especially when they go away to college, because mom and dad are not going to be there to help, you know, put pressure on them to not get involved in things that are bad for them. Stacy's penchant for writing was so deeply ingrained with her. Believe it or not, she says she wrote her first book when she was only 6 years old. Eventually, she started her own tutoring company, all the while working diligently on her writing. And her first book was published in 2010, just about seven and 8 years ago. It was so enriching and thoroughly rewarding owning a company where she can tutor kids, which is the audience she was writing for. Her students would share with her their social experiences. They would read her books and then give her instrumental feedback. So it was a really positive, collaborative effort. She works, as I said, with junior and senior high school students on the college selection process, and this affords her the opportunity to work with young people to learn what they're going through, and it gives her information and helps her write her books. And not only that, but what was a big dream for her, of course, was to get the books published, and then to walk into a store like Barnes & Noble and see her books on the shelves. You know how exciting that is. She hopes her students will someday find joy in their future achievements as well. Anyway, it is a real pleasure to have Stacy back with us again. We have a number of subjects we want to explore with her, not the least of which is her knack for writing and getting her books published, but also how she works with youngsters today. So, Stacy Badula, who is talking to us now from her headquarters in Massachusetts, let's welcome her back again. Stacy, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm very excited to be back.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. I know you were with us about a month ago, and when we have somebody on again the second time, it's always even more exciting sometimes because we know how great you were and your information was first time we chatted with you. So I know a little bit that you're going to have to repeat a little bit of what you said before, but don't worry about that. We have a totally different audience probably that's listening today, and we have to get them some information about you so they understand. So don't worry if you repeat a little bit about what you said before. Let's talk about your working with kids. I think you've got two careers going. You've got your tutoring business and you've got your writing business, and you're doing both at the same time. Am I right?
Yes. And it's amazing how it totally just works together. And it really, like, I didn't plan that. It just fell into place, which is even, you know, more amazing. And I'm very grateful for that. I actually studied architecture and interior design for 5 years in college, and then I worked for 2.5 years in that industry. But then I realized that I wanted to actually be spending my time in some sort of a helping profession. And I've always had like a mentor's heart, and I also always loved school. So that's what led me to begin tutoring. And I started tutoring high school math, English, and science. And then that eventually led to me tutoring the SAT, ACT, and college admissions essays. But my academic career just took off, and I ended up leaving the design industry completely in 2009, and I was working for a tutoring company in the Metro West of Massachusetts, and after about a year and a half, they promoted me to director of the whole company. So then together, the owner and I built the company into more than a tutoring company, actually an educational group that covered everything from college counseling to troubled youth work to advocacy, test prep, and I was responsible for managing about 25 to 30 tutors and developing all the curriculum for the company, but my true passion was really working with the students. So in 2016, I left that company and founded my own practice, which specializes in what you mentioned, college counseling, SAT, ACT tutoring, mentoring, academic coaching. Each day I work with a variety of students, and I get to help them with everything from choosing a college major to balancing chemical equations. It's so fulfilling to be a part of their journeys and watch them achieve their goals. We've recently had so many amazing college acceptances. It's the time of year where you start to get those letters in. I just found out today one of my students was accepted to UVA, another one recently to UPenn, Wharton School of Business, Notre Dame, Northwestern, I mean, just amazing institutions. And one of the best parts is that I've developed friendships with so many of my students, and I actually even took them on as interns for my book series. And I just think as a young adult author, it's extremely beneficial for me to work with teens who share their experiences with me, because it keeps my books relevant to what teens are facing in the world today.
You know, that sounds like such a great combination. I don't know your age. I'm assuming you are around 30. Would that be right? Maybe a little younger than that?
Yeah, you're very kind. That's close. I'm actually 34. I just turned 34 in August.
Okay, all right. But the thing is, you're young in spirit, and you're young. You're young. These kids can relate to you. I think they do, don't they?
Yeah, we do get very close. One of my students, who I basically mentored and tutored him for, I don't even know, 7 or 8 years, he honestly became like a little brother to me. He's going to be in my wedding. I'm getting married in April, and he's one of the groomsmen. And it really is amazing how close you can get with these kids when you're helping them make some of the biggest decisions of their lives.
Well, you know, I have been through this with my kids. I have grandchildren. I know what it's like. I've been through it with them, the process of applying to college, and then waiting for the answers. And of course, it's a decision you go through with where you're going to apply. Even these are big decisions, and every family who has children, you know, or college age, goes through it. It can be very daunting, and to have someone like you who could, number one, the kids can relate to. Number two, you understand what they're going through. It's not like you're, you know, 60 years old. You've been out of the picture for so long. You're really relevant. You talk their language. You talk the talk. I think it would be a huge, huge help. And obviously, you're very bright, because in order to work with them on these various tests, you know, I would have a really difficult time, because I don't know how I'd do on the ACT tests or the C, you know, all the various tests that you could take right now. Probably would be embarrassing, but obviously you're pretty good at it. Yeah, I mean, you have to be, don't you? I would think.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess it's a gift.
Congratulations. Good for you. You're in the right profession. And what else amazes me is how you studied in college to do something entirely different. Tried it for a year or two and then found it really wasn't what you thought it would be, or you weren't doing what you wanted to do. I know so many people who have done that. They've gotten degrees in one field and now they're doing something entirely different. That has nothing to do with the degree they studied. And I think, you know, in some ways that's because when a lot of kids go to college, they really, at that point, many of them don't know what they want to do, you know, and they have to pick a major. And so they pick something and they get a degree and then find, you know, geez, I'd rather be doing something entirely different. That's not uncommon, is it?
No, and that's exactly why I use, you know, different tests with my students, the personality test with Myers-Briggs and Hall and Career Inventory, and I do a bunch of things to try to help the kids get to know themselves before they choose a major so that they won't not, I don't want to say make the mistake I did, but so that they'll know more, you know, than I did about what would really be a fulfilling career when I chose my major. So I definitely believe in it, even from my own personal experience with doing that.
You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm out of touch with it, of people who work with students who are, you know, studying for the exams to get into college. If they do that, if their goal is to help them find what it is they want to do, you sound like you are a really huge help to these kids. My assumption is someone who helps people pass the test to get into college is just giving them the information and helping them learn how to take the test, how to do the tests, you know, so they'll pass them. Not so much focusing on what kind of major they should select and then follow. But you're giving them a lot of help.
Yeah.
At least that's what
I think. I try to cover everything. It's the best when I start with kids, you know, early in their junior year, and we work on everything from course selection to, you know, struggling in an academic course, and then picking their schools and SAT, ACT prep, and then all the way through till they submit their applications. And then sometimes I even meet with them to help them decide which school to go to once they have the acceptance letters. And it's really nice to get to work with them for, you know, a year to a year and a half, and you really feel like you understand the student after all that time.
And to go through the process of congratulating and being a part of their excitement when they get a letter of acceptance from a school like UVA or Notre Dame, that's exciting. That's cool. Yeah. You should be very proud. They should be proud, and you should be proud. Right?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm sure you do. Let's talk a little bit. Well, number one, I pointed out you're located in Massachusetts. You're in Plymouth, Massachusetts, actually. The kids that you work with, I assume you do this for the most part in person with them. Am I right about that?
Yes. I usually work with them in person. Sometimes we'll work online, just, you know, through Google platform or something. But yes, usually it's face-to-face.
Okay. So if somebody's listening in Miami or California right now, that probably would not be the ideal situation for you to help them out. It's better for those who are in your area. Okay. Next.
In May, I'm going to be expanding to do more work nationally. So I plan to start doing more online so that I can, you know, help people even over the phone just with things or create college lists for them, do meetings that way, conference calls, stuff like that. So in May, I plan to kind of expand to that. But right now, I've just been focused on Massachusetts.
Okay. Good. Well, that's good to know. Let me give you a website, stacypadula.com. Anybody listening who wants to keep in touch with Stacy or get in touch with her and find out if indeed she is broadening her area of how she can help students who are about to take the tests to get into college, this is how you can get in touch with her and learn if she could help you. Again, Stacy Padula, and Padula is spelled P-A-D-U-L-A, just like it sounds, stacypadula.com. Stacy, let me talk a little bit about your writing. You've written numerous books now, and I'm wondering, where did your urge to write a book, because you said you wrote your first book at six? Come on, that's unheard of. How'd you do that?
I don't know. I learned a bunch of words, and I just started writing, and I wrote a book about a dog and gave it to my parents, and I don't know. I just, like, found this whole world I could create, and it was fun, and I just never stopped. I honestly, as a child, I read a lot of books, especially, you know, before high school. I was really curious to know what high school would be like, and I read things like The Babysitter's Club and Sweet Valley High, and it all painted a picture in my mind of what high school would be like. But then when I got into high school and mine was four different towns combined under one roof, I found out it was really nothing like Sweet Valley High, and I was really, really caught off guard by all the harsh rumors and drugs circulating around and the bullying taking place. The books I read didn't address those social issues, and that's what sort of inspired me to begin writing my book series. And I started it as a teenager because I believe kids deserve books that were realistic to help them navigate through high school and adolescence in general. And I actually found those books after college, and I read through them. And to be honest, I was amazed by what I had written at such a young age. I was kind of in disbelief that kids were partying so hard, and just some of the things I wrote about, it was just surprising that that was all going on when we were so young. So then I began editing the books and adding in life lessons that I had learned along the way, and I just realized that maybe these books could help teens with, like, some tricky things through the high school years. So then that's when I sought out a literary agent and got a publisher, and then my first book came out in 2010, followed by its four sequels. So for about the last 8 years, it's really just been my goal to write books that will help teenagers become more secure with themselves and discover their personal passions.
Well, you wrote a series of books called Montgomery Lake High, and there have been, five of them in that now? Am I right?
Yes. Or is it? Yes.
Okay. And there are these are really directed for high school kids, right? 10 through 12.
Yes, high school, middle school, even if they want to just kind of prepare themselves for what they might face in high school. I think they're good for anyone age 11 and up.
And obviously you talk to the kids. I would assume a lot of the kids you work with when you're tutoring have read your books. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Or some of
yes.
them, if not all of them?
Yeah.
What kind of feedback do you get from the kids who've read the books?
They like the characters. They always tell me who they relate to and who their favorite character is. They tell me that it's very true to things that they've faced or things that they witnessed. They say that I have a knack for, like, teenage dialogue, and that it's easy to find themselves within the stories.
So tell me a little bit about the kind of themes of these books, what you're actually writing about. Are you writing about, you know, drug addiction, you know, all the various things, bullying? Are those kind of subjects brought up in these books? And
yeah,
are they trying to help kids how to combat those problems? Is that right part of it?
Right. Yeah, that's a big part of it. So my books share, like, the raw truth about teen drug abuse and opioid addiction in, like, a really realistic, relatable way. I believe drugs pose an empty promise for fulfillment that often leads to self-destruction and the destruction of others. So I really want to help kids avoid the heartache that goes along with substance abuse and instead find positive and beneficial outlets for their time and energy. There's an immense amount of social pressure on kids today between social media and technology. They're constantly connected to others, and I think they can easily lose touch with themselves. They face so much pressure to fit in with the peers, and I think sometimes they lose themselves in the process. So my books really focus on a variety of different characters, and it just shows their journeys, and I think kids can glean important lessons through watching the decisions they make and the consequences that come and learn from it.
Tell me how you get the information, and you explained it to me, so that what you're writing really relates to the kids. It's almost like, you know, you have to be a high school student to get this information, to be experiencing what they're experiencing at the same time. You've been out of high school, you know, quite a while now, but obviously this really relates to them. How do you get this knowledge to know what to write about so that they
yeah.
understand it?
Well, thankfully, I had started, like, the first drafts of three of my five books when I was in high school, so I still have, like, those original ones that were written totally with, like, the emotion of someone who was right in the midst of the battle. And then things have changed since then, but a lot of things are actually still the same, at least the insecurities that are common with growing up and just the social pressures then. I think now things have gotten a little bit worse with social media craze, but that's where my students come into play, and that's where seeing kids on a day-to-day basis has helped keep me relevant. So I'm really, really blessed to have a job that helps with that.
Did you have to deal with many of these issues when you were in high school and even when you were in college? Drug addiction, the sexuality issues, all of this stuff, bullying. Did you experience any of that yourself?
Honestly, high school was difficult. I found that some people were just mean for no reason. Like, I can honestly recall really just wanting to be friends with everybody and always wanting to treat people kindly. And there were just mostly girls who, for whatever reason, just didn't like me. I didn't even know them, and I felt like they knew all my business and wanted to talk about it all the time. And it was really annoying. But my mom had always told me to just be nice to people like that, and someday they'll realize. And that's what I continued to do, and I'm glad I didn't change. I'm glad I didn't turn into one of them. And it was hard, though, honestly. And I still to this day don't really know what their problem was. But I went through that, and I went through various friend groups, and I did end up, you know, finding a great group of friends who I am still friends with to this day. And I did have a lot of wonderful experiences in high school. By the time I entered college, I knew myself better. People were more mature. I had a great college experience, a wonderful group of friends. And, you know, with drug abuse and stuff, I've witnessed a lot of people go down that road, people who I've been close with at times. I've just seen family members and even some of my best friends just get caught up in things that have really, really hurt them. And all of that motivates me to continue writing the books I write.
Well, that is so great. It's just so great to hear you talk like this. I want to point out faith is a theme in your novels. It plays a big part. Obviously, faith is important to you. It comes across in the books, right?
Yeah. My journey with faith is a little interesting. I was raised Catholic, and I grew up spending a lot of time in church, singing in the choir, going to youth group. But I had something happen to me when I was 16 years old that sort of changed my whole perspective, sort of in a negative way. I had this severe allergic reaction that took on the form of an infectious disease, and I ended up being in the hospital for months. I had this fever of 104 for weeks that would not break. I was actually nearly paralyzed from the pain I felt whenever I moved my muscles. I was covered in rashes. My spleen was enlarged. My platelets were low. My kidneys started to fail. The doctors thought I had either leukemia, Still's disease, or Puerto Rican dengue fever, but all the tests kept coming back negative. So it was like a really scary time for me and my family, and I actually missed the last 2 months of my junior year of high school. And eventually the doctors decided to shock my body with a high dose of steroids to keep me from slipping into a coma. And their treatment worked, and I began to heal. But as a 16-year-old who had always tried to be kind to everyone and do the right thing, I honestly got a bit upset with God for allowing me to endure so much pain. And this caused me to turn away from my religion for a period of about 4 years. And during that time, I decided to experiment with, like, anything that looked fun and inviting, including alcohol, some drugs, sexual relationships, everything my friends were doing. However, by the time I turned 21, I realized that I lacked the joy and fulfillment I once had. I was depressed, and even though I had an abundance of friends, I honestly felt alone, like, especially when I was alone at night. I just felt a little lost. And then, in the meantime, my mom had found a new church to attend, and she asked me to come home from college and go with her. I honestly put it off for as long as I could until I felt bad saying no. I went to appease my mom, but the message I heard that day was different from the Catholic masses I had been used to. It was a non-denominational Christian church, and the pastor talked about how God can work in people's lives today. And he compared scripture to real-life situations and then prophecies to historical events, which I found really interesting. I was honestly caught off guard, but very intrigued. So I agreed, you know, to attend church a few more times, and each time I went, I learned a lot more, and not even just about God, but like about myself. Like I felt like I was getting to know myself again after I'd kind of lost myself for a few years. And then one day I decided to try an experiment. I didn't tell anybody, but I just decided for 1 week I would actually try reading the Bible and living the way God recommended. I figured I'd consider his advice and all my decisions and try my best to keep his commandments. I really just wanted to see if I would feel any different. But to my surprise and to my joy, it didn't even take 7 days. It took about three for my depression to lift, and I suddenly felt excited about my life again. It was really the strangest thing. I had peace in my heart, and I realized that day that God gave us the Bible to help us find joy and fulfillment, that it wasn't a book of rules intended to keep us from having fun, which is honestly what I had previously thought. I realized it was a book written with love, giving us advice on how to live meaningful lives. And what God calls sin are just things he knows that will cause people harm. And because he loves us, he wants us to abstain from those things so we don't have to endure the pain. I really, at that point, couldn't deny how different I felt after only 3 days of reading the Bible and praying. And it brought me back to God. It showed me the realness of him, and it gave me the desire to grow even closer. So I continued with that. I continued attending church and reading the Bible, and the more I did, I understood the true gospel, that God forgives us and grants us eternal life because Jesus died to pay the price for our sins. And I realized that it's through faith people are saved from hell, and it's not by their good deeds. It's not working their way into heaven. And it was just so amazing to realize how loved I was by God and how loved everyone is. And I honestly became consumed with studying the Bible and comparing its prophecies to historical events. And as I grew closer, my desires in general began to change, and I became interested in new activities that were really fulfilling, and I lost interest in things that I can see in hindsight were detrimental to my life. And then my friends and family began noticing the change in me and asking why I seemed so different. And I could not deny that something was changing inside of me. It was effortless on my part, but I knew it was a result of inviting God into my heart. And one day I came across a scripture that sort of summed it all up. And it said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I knew that was exactly what had happened to me. I was 21 at the time. Now I'm 34. Finding my faith and learning how to live it out has made the last 13 years of my life extremely fulfilling. And it's my hope that everyone discovers a spiritual dimension of life so they can find the same joy, motivation, and purpose that I found in God. And for that reason, I weave faith into my stories.
Wow. What a remarkable state. Oh, Stacy, you are a joy to talk to, and obviously you went through a really rough patch, but now look at you. You're helping children, helping kids get into college. You're writing books. I assume you're going to write another book soon, coming up. You're working on one?
I am, yes. I'm about 185 pages into it, and it's one that focuses heavily on opiate addiction. It picks up where the last one left off, okay. But it really... It conveys the hope that can exist when someone can find sobriety and how to get there. It's pretty in-depth.
Well, if you're 185 pages into it, you are well into it, my dear. Well into it. Listen, we're out of time, Stacy. I could talk to you for another hour. Thank you so much for talking to us and telling us your story. This has been really amazing. Our guest has been Stacy Padula. Remember now, her practice is called South Shore College Consulting and Tutoring in Plymouth, Massachusetts. If you have a high school student who's considering or getting ready to apply for college, she could be a huge, huge help to your son or daughter if you're in that area. Her website is StacyPadula, PADULA.com. Stacy, I've enjoyed this. Thank you, and good luck to you. Okay?
Thank you so much, Doug. Have a great day.
You are very welcome. What a refreshing young lady to talk to. My goodness, this was great. Thank you, Stacy.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time. Till then, take care of yourself. Bye for now.